All right, well, first, tell me a little just general about your company and what you do.
I'm going to let George start.
Okay. So, Morel Bioplastics by TELUS, okay, is TELUS is a joint venture between Metabolics and ADM. Metabolics is a bioscience company out of Cambridge that has the technology, developed the technology around microbial fermentation of PHA, and has have taken the PHA to the next level of improvements that allow it to be able to be processed and converted into traditional plastic applications such as film, injection molding, thermoforming, that kind of thing. In the past, PHA, the PHA technology was somewhat limited before Metabolics actually got to it and then developed this, what I call a more improved microbial fermentation process.
Okay.
And PHA is pretty much known as somewhat of a brittle polymer. Okay, so it's very difficult to mold, very difficult to put into film and yield. So with the technology that Metabolics brings to the table with this new microbial fermentation, okay, it's now creating various types of PHA polymers that now can be, you know, molded and now can be blown into
much
film
easier.
Much easier. So definitely advancements in processing have been significant. So with that technology improvement, now comes the ability of who's going to build a plant and who's going to be the manufacturing partner. And so there was a number of companies, I think, that were interested in. And, of course, ADM it was the one company that stepped to the plate and said, you know what, we're experts and we're in the world of microbial fermentation. We're the largest fermenters in the world.
Okay.
We also have the actual raw material source, which in this case is, you know, high fructose corn sugar in Clinton, Iowa. We have a plant facility sitting right there where the sugar comes from. Why not just attach a fermentation plant right to the
perfect fit?
It was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's where TELUS was formed, the joint venture between 50-50 ADM and Metabolics. So with those two partners, you know, what TELUS' goal is to actually develop the actual compounds and then ultimately market and sell the Morel Bioplastics. And so we have a complete commercial staff, complete R&D staff around product development with material development, process development, like you would see in a normal large plastics manufacturer, resin manufacturer like a DuPont or, you know, like a GE, okay, or like a, you know, a Dow. And then we have the compounding capability, let's say, a technology like a Poly One. So we've developed that with TELUS and along with a commercial and marketing group, okay? So that's what TELUS is.
All right, now I have to ask, in the age of the recession and all that, well, I do understand that you are sustainable. Wouldn't it cost more to do these things? To do the corn ethanol manufacturer? What are you talking about?
So in the short run, if you look at, for instance, anytime you build a plant and you look at this type of technology, you know, initially versus, let's say, petroleum-based plastics that have been around for 50, 60, 70 years. When they first came out, they were very expensive, too. And as time went on, they were able to get economies of scale and grow their business to the point of efficiencies around manufacturing processes. Of course, their prices came down.
Right.
Okay. So, and that's, I mean, this is, if you look at this, this is like breakthrough technology. I mean, this is the first of the world that this plant, you know, is being built and this technology is taken to this level of manufacturing and capacity. It's not been done before. So, if you look at it, we're actually pretty competitively priced from a value proposition standpoint. So let's say, for instance, you know, we've quoted, you know, some of our materials in the price of $2.50 a pound, you know, for truckload quantities. However, some of these materials we were able to go in and actually reduce the amount of weight and mass of the traditional plastic because PHA itself has a higher temperature rating.
Okay.
So if you thin your wall down, your wall sections down, let's say on injection molding or thermoforming, you're going to have the heat resistance that you won't get with the traditional polyolefins that are out there and styrenics.
So it just naturally comes with the product. You get the...
Naturally comes with the product, and it also is very moisture stable, so there's no hydrolysis. So having moisture doesn't break the product down. So it's a very stable, natural polymer when you think about it. And
which is great for the consumer down the line.
We're great for the consumer and the, you know, the robustness of the product and also for the brand owners that are trying to say, you know, where they want to put a good product out there that's going to last, that's going to give a good, you know, experience for the consumer as far as using it.
And it goes beyond that, because when you really look at it, for instance, if our customer is looking at it, so now all of a sudden, instead of him, once he's generated a product and put it out in the market, say, let's just take a large food chain. if they then are having to pay huge amounts of money to have everything pulled away, put into landfill, where now that is a complete compostable and hopefully anaerobic system where they can regenerate, take the heat, take the methane, reuse that into additional energy. If people start thinking about you just can't look at one end of the value chain. You have to look at the entire value chain. So even though we're a little more expensive than some resins, if you look all the way down at the end to the entire value chain, there's a lot.
Environmentally conscious packaging.
And there's money to be saved in the end. So.
Yeah, keep for waste. So if you look at, exactly, Dave, you're exactly right. And, you know, this whole total systems approach to a product's life cycle, you know, and having extended producer responsibility of what's going to happen with that once your product is end of its useful life, what can you do with it? And so that's where this product really takes us to the next level of what I consider sort of a natural path to an end of life, you know, versus product that ultimately will have to be either landfilled or, you know, recycled. Everyone's into recycling. This product is recyclable like traditional polymers within its own family of PHA. However, recycling only goes so far. How many times can you actually recycle a polymer over and over again? So at some point, it's going to have an end of life. And what do you do with that? And this Morel provides what I consider a natural pathway end of life to a multiple methods of, and we can go over that, the certifications for Morel. I think that's the key. If you look at where we are certified.
Tell me more about the certifications.
So these certifications are critical to trying to build credibility with the bioplastics industry.
Okay.
Okay. It's very important because there's a lot of technology that tends to make traditional petroleum-based plastics, you know, supposedly somewhat degradable, and then these get passed off to the consumer as far as greenwashing goes. You know, the FTC has a full green guidelines to prevent greenwashing around environmental claims. So based on that, the way that the brand owners and our customers can really build credibility is through certification. And these are basically based on ASTM standard specifications around the actual end of life scenario, and this determines the inherent biodegradability of the product. So for instance, you're talking about composting. Both municipal, which is hot composting, and home composting. A lot of people do their own home composting. Well, this product doesn't require heat, doesn't require moisture to break down. It only requires microbes to digest it. So anywhere where there's a microbial population that is surrounding the material, it's going to digest it. So it's a very natural end-of-life process. So you have hot composting, but also home composting. At the same time, you have soil biodegradability. So for instance, a big application for us is mulch film.
Right.
Where right now, again, polyethylene is the major player right now today, and once that mulch film is laid on the farm, it ultimately has to be picked back up. And once you pick the mulch film back up, what does it do? It takes a lot of soil with it. So you're taking a lot of the actual land with it, and then now you're trying to actually recycle or clean this polyethylene that has pretty much a lot of dirt and attached to it and things that it's very difficult to recycle. So one of the advantages of PHA and Morel is that it can be turned into the soil after the growing season and naturally digest with the microbes in the soil.
So from what I gather, pretty much anything you do with this product, it will biodegrade and be of use.
As long as it, yes. So it doesn't start to degrade or biodegrade unless it sees a complete microbial environment to go into. And typically we don't live in those environments.
Right.
You don't live in bacteria, you know, completely. So
True.
Right. But, you know, typically bacteria.
The average home garden, or as you said, it could be composted in heat and things like that.
Right.
So it seems like no matter what situation the average consumer runs into, whether they're in the city or the farm, they'll find a way to make use of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we really should step back to your term greenwashing and explain that, because I think that's very critical, because there's a lot of claims out there of biodegradation or composting, if you will. A lot of people say their product does. They say it's green or it degrades.
Right.
However, they're not talking about 100% degradation or composting or breaking down, because a lot of the polymer, there's no guidelines.
Yeah.
So that's what greenwashing, and
right.
you probably have a better definition of greenwashing.
Yes, I've heard many definitions. So what do you classify as greenwashing?
Well, I think when you're trying to, well, the way the FTC kind of guides you is that you don't want to mislead the consumer that's purchased the product to believe that he has an immediate end-of-life option that's readily available to them.
Correct.
And that you're doing something good for the environment. When something has to be thrown in a landfill to go away again, you're really not doing anything good for the environment. So with that, you know, a lot of companies are trying to maybe get some property performance that shows that it's breaking down. So products can degrade or fragment, okay, and have weight loss, but necessarily what you're doing is you're taking big pieces and then making a lot of smaller pieces, but those little smaller pieces are still in the environment.
Right.
They don't go away.
Remain. Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
So that's the issue that you're dealing with. And to the consumer, they see something degrade over time, you know, maybe through UV or through additive technology.
Right.
You know, oxygen is a major use, you know, call it oxy additives, things like that. So,
but in the end, they're
still.
It really, it's a in my mind, it's a contaminant still.
It's still there, and
right.
yeah, it's still
not,
a factor.
It's not what we have. Not,
just
not
small.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So these tests that you see with ASTM, they all. You have to pass inherent biodegradation.
Correct.
Okay.
So you have to actually show the conversion to CO2 or show the conversion to methane.
Correct.
And without that, converting the carbon over, you really can't determine if it's really going to be biodegradable.
That's right.
So that's the key.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah, and you're right. That determines everything, whether or not something, the greenwashing is
exactly.
true or not, and that
exactly.
must take out most of your competitors. Then, when it comes to actual greenwashing,
well, there's a big
yeah.
industry of biopolymers that are very successful, that have met the ASTM standards. D6400
yeah.
for compostability is the key one right now that's out there.
Sure.
There's another one for D7081 for marine biodegradability, marine degradability, which PHA passes. And then there's a lot of standards in Europe around home compostability, soil biodegradability, and I know that ASTM is working on developing specs and standards around those. So
okay.
we're getting to that point. But there is a good industry out there right now of not only our material, but there's other materials. For one would be NatureWorks PLA. You may have heard of that. Polylactic
well,
acid from NatureWorks.
A little bit more.
So NatureWorks, you know, is probably another major player in the industry of what I would consider biopolymers, you know,
okay.
And they produce a PLA, which is more or less, a polymer, polylactic acid, and you may want to talk to NatureWorks to get more information from them directly on their process and properties.
Clear.
But, yeah, and they're known for their clarity, is what
okay.
they're known for, and they are compostable. So
industrial.
Yes, industrial compostable. They meet D6400.
Okay.
But not home compostable where you could go out and bury it in your own home because microbes don't eat their product. They need their product to go over a certain temperature range before it breaks down and becomes compostable.
Which, honestly, the home compost just seems like it'd be way easier for the consumer to put outside and it's more or less taken care of.
Right.
So tell me, what do you see for the future of your company and your products 5-10 years down the line?
I think tremendous amount of growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, you know,
exactly.
If you look at the technologies that are coming to actually look at waste and handle waste. I mean, around anaerobic digestion,
yep.
you know, you have these technologies that are into hydrolysis that break, you know, the natural polymers down,
yeah.
where there's no pathogens and the future of biopolymers is only going to grow significantly. We can see ultimately, I think, the price points for our material at some point. As we get efficiencies and economies of scale and our volume grows, we'll start to come down, you know, more towards traditional polyethylene or olefin. I mean, if you look at us right now, we actually are priced competitively with engineering plastics.
Oh,
correct.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
you look at traditional engineering thermoplastics, we're priced very competitively with them. And we actually end up in a lot of durable applications. So,
which makes sense that you
yeah,
would.
We
yeah.
would, right, with our heat resistance and with our ability not to break down with moisture. So,
okay.
yep, some very good markets. I mean, opportunity is very, very, very good.
Very bright future.
Very bright future.
exciting and bright future. That's right. I tell you, I left a very large company, engineering plastics company, to come here. But I just, I've been watching the industry for a long time. The movement is more towards the green, sustainable, renewable type stuff because it's so much better for the environment. We have to do it. There's no question, and the move is afoot. And I am very excited about this product. I didn't need to leave. I wanted to leave. I wanted to be a part of
it. That says something.
Oh, it, yeah. And everybody, you start to show them the value of it, they all know. And they all want it. And it's really exciting because we, as George said, we have just kind of started this. We've just improved this to the point where people can start finding ways to use it. And the, to me, it's like a tidal wave forming. It's just starting to swell right now, but it's just amazing. It's just going to
get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Bigger, yeah. And bigger and bigger.
And you guys are at the forefront.
And we really are.
Good place to be.
I'm based in California.
Yeah.
And the regulations out there are aggressive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when they do them out there, they carry across the whole country. So California tends to lead, even though some of us think it's a little crazy what they're doing.
Yeah.
And what they legislate, it's amazing when they do it how it carries across the rest of the country. So what George is doing out there is probably more key to what is happening for the whole United States than anything. He's really helping, and so is California, really helping set this entire green, sustainable movement across the entire country and the world.
That's fantastic.
Truly.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys very, very much for your time.
Appreciate it.